Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God, this is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, I'm Josh Widdicombe.
And I'm Rob Beckett.
Welcome to Lockdown Parenting Hell, the show in which Rob and I discuss what it's like to be a parent during lockdown, which I would say can be a little tricky. So, in an effort to make some kind of sense of the current situation...
And to make me feel better about my increasingly terrible parenting skills...
Each episode we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how well they're coping.
Or hopefully not.
And we will be hearing from you, the listener, with your tales of lockdown parenting woe.
Because, let's be honest, none of us know what we're doing.
Hello, and you are listening to Lockdown Parenting Hell with...
Is it Josh Widdicombe?
Widdicombe. Rob Beckett.
Josh
Widdicombe. I'm enjoying this.
Wow, that's a great start, isn't it?
Well, the problem with this is sometimes when it's hard with children because that kid was a bit like gremlin-y with a voice. You want to go, oh, wow, what a weird sort of gremlin voice then. But then I get worried in case you go, that's Sarah and she's been at speech therapy. And I'm like, oh, no.
Wow. Stanley was a little later talking.
Yes, see?
They've been waiting for him to do his rendition for your names and he didn't disappoint. That is from Emma Borders.
Go on, Emma. But am I allowed to talk about that? Because I had to have speech therapy as a child. Is that like a thing where you can own it? Like Alex Brooker's allowed to talk about, you know, having one leg.
Yeah, ad nauseum.
Yeah, to be fair, if I had one leg, you'd know about it.
If you have one leg, Rob, I wouldn't have a job. So
Widdicombe's gone. If you had the good news or the bad news, Rob's lost a leg in an accident. Bad news, Josh. He's taking your spot on Last Leg. Josh, I am absolutely fizzing with life.
Yeah. Oh, school's back.
School's back. We record this Monday. We drop the kids off and one at nursery, one at school. Oh, it feels great. The vibe at the school gate was outrageous.
Was it?
Oh, it's just that people were buzzing. And then, like, I walked past one geezer who definitely had an haircut. I went, you've had an haircut? I went, yeah, I did, yesterday. I think his guard was down. Normally, someone lies and says, oh, my wife did it. He went, yeah. Got my hairdresser to do it. I went, did you? He went, yeah. And he walked off. And I was like, you shouldn't have told me that.
Fucking hell, he couldn't give a shit.
I know, but I think the vibe of first day back got to him. He didn't care anymore.
People snogging at the school gates. It's like when the army people come back at the end of the war, wasn't it? It was just absolute bedlam.
Yeah, and it feels like, because of Harry and Meghan...
Soldiers, that's the word. Soldiers.
Yeah, heroes, I think you'll find they're called.
I'm sorry, heroes.
Yes, thank you. But what I found was, because of the Harry and Meghan stuff is so huge, it's like COVID ain't a thing.
Right,
you know what I mean? I feel like this is one of the first days I've forgotten there's a pandemic.
Then there's going to be a Harry and Meghan spike?
Be a Harry and Meghan spike. People all just want to talk to each other closely about Harry and Meghan. And do you know what I found interesting from a parenting point of view on the podcast is out of all the stuff that's going on and all the scandal from the interview is that Prince Charles doesn't return Harry's phone calls.
Mad.
How can you as a dad not do that? I mean, like, that beyond everything. Surely your relationship with your son, whether or not you're not on good terms, but just not pick up the phone to your kid. And he hasn't really done anything that wrong. Harry, do you know what I mean? You may not agree with how he's operating as like, oh, they annoy me or whatever, if that's what your opinion is. But ultimately, as a person, is he still taking Prince Andrew's phone calls, but not Harry's? Do you know what I mean? Who's he talking to?
I don't think he's been taking Prince Andrew's phone calls for quite a few years, judging by the crowd.
Yeah,
But then, do you watch The Crown, Rob?
No, I don't. I've seen. I know what happens.
They're constantly not taking each other's phone calls.
Do they come in with a phone on a pillow? Is that a thing?
Possibly. Well, they do in The Crown, basically. But, like, are they doing that now? Or has Prince Charles got a mobile? Is he phoning, like, Dad Mob? Surely. They're not allowed mobiles.
No, I mean, I don't think, you know, like, I know Prince Philip's not well at the moment. I don't think he'd be allowed a mobile. Imagine the WhatsApp groups he'd be in. No chance. Anyway, Josh, how have you been? Do you know what? I'll be honest with you. I had a terrible week, but today it sort of all vanished because I'm so happy today. But yesterday was brutal.
It's an interesting way of answering the question, how have you been, to carry on with your own way. But we'll...
That is a Rob Beckett special. That, you know, if you're not sure about their answer, answer it for yourself. Sorry, Josh.
Let's do you first, Rob. No, let's do you first.
I can't sit still, Josh.
I've got lots of boring stories, Rob. So let's start with the energy. Like taking a toddler to the park. Let's burn you out a bit before we move on to my stories.
Well, basically, I've had four coffees. There's a whole...
Have you?
Yeah, because I've been up early getting the kids out. I've been watching... Piers Morgan fell apart on the news. Trisha Goddard skewered him at the end and called him a bully. It's all been kicking off, Josh.
Yeah,
I can't keep up.
Piers Morgan's... I've never really got over the fact Meghan Markle wouldn't be his friend, has he? He really...
Well, is that what they're saying? Because she binned him off?
That's basically... He's kind of said that himself, but he's implied that that's not the real reason that he's really angry. We should move on from the Royals, but there is a very good Cold War Steve that I saw... That he's made. Do you follow Cold War Steve on Instagram?
Oh, illustrator. It does illustrations of topical events. Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah, there's a very good one of Piers Morgan in his bedroom made to look like a shrine to Meghan Markle.
Yeah, it is weird, the obsession with her, isn't it? But anyway.
Anyway.
Oh, right, okay, let's get back to the week, Josh, right? Sorry about
this. So you got up, you've had four coffees.
I've had four coffees. I'm flooded with royal news. It's incredible. I watched Good Morning Britain, which got me to such a frenzy.
Wow, I don't think I could do that to myself.
Yeah, Rob. Oh, mate, it was like being on news speed. And then I had to watch Lorraine for a come down, basically. Yeah. That was sort of like the acoustic tent at Glastonbury, just to sort of get all the energy out of me. But I'm still absolutely...
What have you done? Gone back to Good Morning Britain before we recorded this?
I've just recorded an episode from mid-pandemic just to get me really riled up. Like an early Hancock interview.
It's a really angry way to start the day, isn't it? Good morning.
I know, but I was so happy I had to calm myself down. That's why I sometimes listen to true crime podcasts, because I get too happy.
Right,
Here we go, right. Let's change the mood.
So tell me about your shit week.
All right, okay. First of all, I've been getting trolled, okay? I wouldn't say trolled, but just dickheads on Twitter. I'm not going to say who they are because I think it's unfair, but someone, right, tweeted me after I did an Instagram story about how dirty my car was, right? Said,
yeah, you're still dealing with the big issues then.
Yeah, I am. I'm still dealing with the big issues.
Why are you not saving that kind of content for this show, Rob?
I don't know. Well, it was just loads of crumbs everywhere, and it was an outline, but it was on my stories. But I put it on my stories, and someone didn't even reply to my stories because I've got that turned off, has tweeted me, after seeing your Instagram about the back of your car, the mess, 3 exclamation marks, how the holy hell is it that disgusting? I've got two children and it's spotless. Well, fucking good for you. Oh, it's spotless. Well done. Well done, you. But what else are you doing in your life? All right? I've got other stuff going on. Little Miss Clean Car.
Do you know who you sound like? You sound like Piers Morgan talking about Meghan Markle trying to pretend that you have got over her.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's move on from that one, because I've got another little nerd attack.
Let's ponder on that one.
Okay.
How do you have a clean car?
Well, they hoover.
Because not you. How does one have a clean car with children? Are they not snacking?
Well, like, I know. I've got two. She's got two kids as well. And I'm just like, all right, you have got a clean car. Well done. But like, who cares?
Yeah.
I took the approach of my car as a sacrificial lamb of a vehicle.
I could not give a fuck about the cleanness of my car.
Exactly. It's basically, if you people that have dogs, the car's messy. Or if you have horses, you accept that. And with children, I think you have to treat them like livestock. Accept that they will ruin a car. And then when do they get to about 13, you have a no food in the car rule and everyone lives by that. But up until that point, I will be throwing Happy Meals and Pom Bears at them to keep them shut up. I think that's fair, isn't it?
Yeah. I think the cleanliness of your car is the least of your problems, Rob, if you're throwing Happy Meals throughout.
Right, I've got an absolute stiff neck on Twitter as well. Give me shit, Josh.
Oh, no.
Right, here we go.
Not the stiff necks.
He's sidled up, this geezer.
Well, I think that first woman's neck is pretty stiff. Surprised she's allowed to drive. She won't be able to check a blind spot.
Sure, it's clean. Have you checked around the corners, stiff neck? Aye, straightforward. I don't know if it's a lady, but it's got KSW and there's a picture of a sunflower and lose a lot of emoji. So I'm just assuming it's a lady, but it might be a man. Doesn't matter, does it? This one, listen to this stiff neck, right, Josh? He's grassing me in to the podcast that we own with Michael, Josh, right? You know, right, like yeah. Normally you complain to Mop the Week. You're at Mop the Week. I think it's unfair what that person said
because
Mop the Week own that and choose who go on it. But we own the show here. Don't we?
Does he think that there's like a big office based around this podcast?
He thinks.
And we're merely a couple of kind of
plebs.
Hired
guns.
Like there's a big glass office in Soho where there's 20 people making sure this all runs effectively.
Yeah. And Michael's in there alone with a big cigar as the producer of the podcast. And we have no say. He's in, and he could get rid of us and get other people in. That's what he's imagining, this big thing.
Yeah.
At Lockdown Parent.
On that, we do need to have that meeting after this, Michael, which is me and you.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Hi, I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars, because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drum roll, please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
Here I go. So, he's grassing me in, this geezer. At Lockdown Parent, interested to listen to last week's episode to hear that Rob Beckett is showing his young children The Simpsons. At Disney Plus UK has it listed as a 12 plus and under adult animation content.
Dearie,
doesn't seem like the sort of thing to be endorsing. I tell you what, mate, go for yourself. I'll endorse what I want when I fucking want, all right? I don't, why do you give a what my kids are watching, you nosy old There, I said it. And sack me. Sack me if you want. Lockdown parenting, sack me. I'm endorsing The Simpsons to my fucking kids because I can do whatever I want. All right? They're my kids to a certain degree, obviously.
Were they espressos or were they... What coffees were these?
No,
from?
Lou made them, but I think she wanted me to leave the house for a walk with too much energy. So I think that she might have upped them to... She might have left it on strong, the old coffee machine.
Did you reply on Twitter?
No, I don't get involved in that. I just thought I'd, you know, just ignore it and not let it get to me. Do you know what I mean? I'm quite zen these days, and I've been doing what...
I don't... It's water off a duck's back, isn't it, for you?
Yeah, you know I mean? In between meditations, you see that kind of stuff, and you don't let it get to you, so... But, yeah, sorry if I've come in too strong, Josh. I just had to get it off my chest.
No, it's fine. So how often do you get abuse on Twitter? I don't... I'll fully hold my hands up. I don't read any of the comments on my Twitter, so I don't know whether I am the victim of lots of abuse or not very much. But I'm genuinely interested. How much abuse do you get?
Do you know what? A lot. But I think it's like everyone gets a lot of abuse on Twitter. And do you know what? When it's me and like TV shows that I've done or whatever, I don't really care. But for some reason, because I pride myself on being a good person, a good husband and a good dad. So if they come for me about my kids, I go into, and we spoke about this before, sort of dad rage, where, you know, I nearly had a fight outside the school gates.
There is an element of, it overtakes you, doesn't it?
Yes, there's an element of my upbringing that, you know, I am not too far away from tops off fighting in the street. I've tried to stay away from that side of my personality, but that does live.
But that's why you're on the diet, isn't it?
Yeah, that is why. I've lost 9 pounds, Josh.
So you're almost ready for your topless street fight?
Yeah, I'm ready for a topless street fight about what time of day I show my kids The Simpsons, even though it's on at 6 p.m. on Channel 4, which is technically pre-Watershed, you little fucking nerdy prick. Sorry, Josh. Right, Josh, how's your week? Because I'm going mad. I think, Josh, I'm going to try and calm down now.
You do seem to have burned yourself out now, which
is good. I had a very stressful Sunday, that was all, and it just sort of...
Oh, was it? What happened on your Sunday?
Well, basically, because they're going back to school, the shoes situation, none of her school uniform sort of fits, but it's not so small she can't get away with it, but we don't really want to buy a new lot because she won't wear it for long enough, type thing. She needed new shoes, and then because my child's basically been feral for 3 months and just worn Wellington boots or slippers, every shoe is too tight. So he tried about 15 different pairs of shoes that were too tight, and then it turned into this big thing. And then we tried to go to a park yesterday in a pair of her trainers, and they were too tight as well. And she cried and hobbled along like a lame dog, you know, like...
Right. Oh, no.
And then when she got to the playground, run along the balance beams, didn't care at all. And then they wouldn't stop arguing and fighting to the point when we were driving home, they were arguing so much, I just turned the radio on to full and sang out loud for 15 minutes.
Oh, wow.
To sort of drown out the noise. So it was quite an intense Sunday.
Yeah. So in many ways, The Simpsons was the least of your problems.
Oh, yeah, it's the least of the problems. Yeah, sure, they keep saying, you know, eat my shorts. Could you imagine that? 11-year-old saying, eat my shorts, man. Oh, my God. That'd be terrible, wouldn't it? It'd be so bad.
The Simpsons is a 12.
Because, I don't know, but on Channel 4, it's on at 6 o'clock. Don't worry about it. Chill out, mate. There's a lot bigger things to worry about. Anyway, sorry, Josh. I've burnt out now. Right. We can crack on normally.
No, you needed to get out of your system.
I think the issue is, Josh, now it's turned into therapy. I, at the moment, am doing this podcast and I'm doing a lot of writing, which is very reflective and internal. But you know me, I need to scream into the darkness.
Yeah, but you've never written before in your life as well.
No, exactly. I've had to buy a laptop for it. I just scream into the abyss on stage doing comedy, and that's my outlet. And I haven't had that now for a long time, and I'm slowly going insane.
From my own perspective, my life's going to be a lot less intense when you do have an audience.
I've started to calm down because I can't play Call of Duty anymore because it's scary. I've started being a PC gamer.
Oh, no. What are you doing? Civilization?
Zoos.
Zoos?
I'm building zoos.
Oh, Rob.
On Planet Zoo. It's a game where you can build zoos and animals.
What, is that like theme hospital or theme park or whatever, but for zoos? Someone open up the pubs, please.
Oh, God, yeah.
Rob, you've done a year. We haven't said it was this week, last year, that it started.
What, the podcast?
No, the lockdown.
Oh, the actual pandemic. Sorry. Yeah. Was it?
And it's taken a year to break you.
Well, do you know what? I feel like I'm at the best and the worst I've ever been.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I feel good, but also I think if I had an outlet, I'd be fine.
Have you ever seen the film Falling Down?
Yeah, I have seen that. I think I am. Can we talk about your week? Because I think I might get sectioned in a minute.
Okay, Rob, I want to start a new feature.
Okay.
You know, we were talking about twat desks.
Yeah.
So I've pondered with talking about this on the show for 2 weeks.
Okay.
But I don't want to sound like a privileged twat.
Okay, go on. What are you talking about?
But I think we should have privileged twat confessions.
So is it like a first world problem type thing?
But it's something that I was worried I was going to make the listeners hate me.
Okay, so you're feeling like from your media ivory tower, you're worried that you may be judged.
Should we call it Ivory Tower Confessions?
Ivory Tower Confessions, yeah. Media elite. Ivory Tower Confessions is a good thing.
Confessing from your ivory tower. Basically, it's first world problems, sucker.
Ivory Tower Confessions, Rob.
Yeah.
You know, I've moved my daughter's bedroom.
Yes.
Up a floor.
Yeah, because you're in that sort of like a townhouse thing, aren't you?
It's a tall, thin house.
Yes. It's an East London Victorian terraced house, which is very tall and thin rather than wide and low, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
So she's on the second floor of your house.
It's 35 stairs, Rob.
35 stairs?
So at bedtime,
yeah,
you go up and then you have to fill up the bottle. So you go back down and then you go back up and then you've forgotten something. You go back. Say you go up to the bedroom on average at bedtime. Yeah?
Yeah.
Four times, I'd say, is an average. Once,
you have to go back up for
backstroke or whatever. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's 140 stairs I'm doing wrong. 35 stairs every time I need to go downstairs and back up. Well, 70 if you count going down as well, which you don't, because going down is easy.
I don't think that's how steps work, is it?
Have you ever tried to do the stairs coming out of Covent Garden Tube and it's about 190 stairs?
Yeah, they warn you, don't they? Like,
yeah, they warn you. And it's really good if you go down the stairs at Covent Garden Tube because when you see the people coming up, they look like they look like Serrano Fiennes. Yeah. But like 35 stairs means that trying to remember to take everything upstairs is one of the most high-pressure pieces of parenting. It's doing my head in wrong.
The only time I've had to deal with a lot of stairs is when we're in Edinburgh, because a lot of the houses in Edinburgh are very high, aren't they?
Yeah.
So yeah, exactly. But I wonder if there's anyone that's got, I mean, we want some more ivory tower confessions, but also if anyone's got a longer commute to their child's bedroom from the front room.
Oh, mate, it's an absolute shocker.
But then obviously when you're in bed and they wake up in the night, it's less, isn't it? Because you're already up.
Yeah, yeah. So we're halfway there. You're halfway up.
You're like base camp for everything.
Yeah, base camp. But say in the morning, right? Yeah. I used to go in when she'd wake up, and then she'd say that she wanted her vitamins. She has them in the morning, right? So I'd go down and get them. Now I've had to relocate them into a drawer in her room, mate, because there's no way that first thing in the morning I'm doing that journey.
No, I think that's a good decision. I think, is it worth buying two of the same teddies? And they've like, you know, they can not leave certain floors.
Do you
like,
know what,
like perimeter alarm?
I just think I might just move her back into our bedroom.
Have you thought about a pulley system down the stairs?
I'm not Wallace and Gromit, mate. 35 stairs, Rob.
35 stairs. That is a lot. And that is something that is annoying, but no one will ever take seriously or care.
No one's. I understand you shouldn't have any pity for me in that, We've made a huge, huge layout mistake, in my opinion.
Do you know, right, I've got one then I could do for you, right? When we got our house done, ours was a wreck, right? So we had to get everything done. And when they did it, they did the water. They sort of connected the water almost like to the a new type of connection to the mains, so that it came straight from the mains rather than going through this old system, because it was a really old house. Yeah. And I would say the water pressure in my house is so fierce to the point it's unusable at times. Lou, I don't know if anyone's complained about too much pressure in a water pressure. Normally, the argument with water pressure is there's not enough pressure. It dribbles out. The pressure's outrageous, to the point where if we've got a bath, right, and the shower's like on the bath, like it's hooked on. It's not, and you can put it up in the air if you want, or you just hold it over your head and like it's attached. So you switch the lever from bath to shower. If it's been left on shower and you turn the water on full because you think it's set on bath mode,
yeah,
the shower head that is loose on a little cable wiring thing will explode off of the bath and just spray the whole room.
Yeah. We've got that. We've got the old shower head spray scenario.
And Lou said to me, we need to lower the water pressure because the water is too powerful for our children's heads. And I just said, they're just going to have to deal with it until their skulls can take it. Because I'm not changing my water pressure to wash a kid's head for a year until their heads get harder.
Well, it's a good new feature.
Yeah, let's see what we get in.
The best thing about it is it's going to lead to Rob getting lots more abuse on Twitter.
Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams, so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. That's Atlassian.com. Atlassian.
Today, Healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways Healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Do you want some more feet on the floor stories of parenting, Rob, from my week?
Yeah, go for it. What you got?
Went to the tip.
Oh, I went to the tip last week.
I had a fucking nightmare, Rob.
Oh, no. What happened?
So, Sunday trip to the tip.
Yeah. Oh, busiest day. Go on.
Well,
peak hours.
Not for me.
No.
Right. So, go to the tip. Get everything in the car, obviously. I know we've talked about some banal things on this show, Rob. But there is a traffic light near me.
Love it. Love it already. Come on.
Right. I am convinced, Rob,
yeah,
that it doesn't turn green on Sundays.
Right. What is it? Religious?
I don't know, right, Rob? So I use this traffic light during the week to drop my child to nursery, right? We go through this traffic light.
Yeah, all is fine. Yeah, you're using a traffic light. You're a normal guy.
Yeah, I'm a normal guy. I'm a normal guy. Exactly.
You use a traffic light. Yeah, come on. You're normal like us. Yeah, come on.
Right. On Sunday, last Sunday, it didn't change for 5 minutes.
Right? Okay, yeah.
I was third in the queue. It didn't change for 5 minutes, right? People are starting to honk their horns. Yeah. Or that you can see that it's going around all the other options and not changing, right?
Yes. Well, is there sometimes you need to be near a sensor to trigger it? If you're too far back, he doesn't know you're there.
I know. So you can only blame the person who's front of the queue for that, yeah. Right? That this was last Sunday. So eventually it goes on so long, people start taking it into their own hands and just going.
Oh, going through red. That's a big decision, isn't it?
It's a fucking huge decision, but... But when you're third in the queue and one person's gone around you already and the first to have gone, I thought, I'm all right here, right?
Yeah.
Went through, fine. I thought, I never have to think about that again. Go to the tip, find the tip. Obviously, takes a while. Find the tip. Get there. You're right, mate. Wind down my window. He says, can I see the email? I said, what?
Oh.
He says, you have booked, haven't you? No, I haven't booked, mate. This isn't tea at the fucking Ritz. It's the tip.
Yeah. It's not slug and lettuce New Year's Eve, mate.
Have I booked? It's not Glastonbury. I wasn't up refreshing the webpage at 10 a.m. to get my slot.
Yeah, sometimes they release a few tickets on the day, don't they, for the tip? They've got some returns.
So obviously, despite the fact my car's full of rubbish, I'm not allowed to use the tip.
Oh, no.
Most gallingly, because you have to go through this passageway to get to the tip, I have to drive through the tip to get out of the tip.
Oh, no. You should have pulled up and unloaded.
Not able to stop.
Should have pulled up and unloaded. Big boy move. Big boy move. You've already gone for a red light, mate. Pull up, reverse in, unload. What are they going to do? Get out the fucking dump, put it back in your car? I would have loved it if you did that.
Yeah, well, I didn't do that. I now regret it. So this weekend, Sunday, book for the tip.
So has all the rubbish been in your car for a week?
No, I put it in the front yard, took it out of the car, put it in the front yard. All these paintings. Basically, day before we're having our garden table delivered, the guy who's delivering it is like, oh, I'll have that paint, those paintings and that big metal pipe that you don't want. So basically takes 75% of the stuff I was going to take to the tip. But I still have... a few items. So now I'm going to the tip with about 3 fucking items.
I'd love to be a man or a woman that just gets a bit of pipe from someone's garden and makes something with it.
Do you know the worst thing? When he said, are you getting rid of this big bit of pipe? And the first thing I thought was...
Of course I fucking am, you lunatic. It's a big bit of pipe.
You know the first thing I thought? I thought... Oh, God, is that really valuable? And I don't realise.
Yeah, antique roadshow. It's a Rolex pipe.
So I go to the tip with my few things. Obviously, in the week when I've had the mattress for a... What are those outdoor beds called? Sunbed.
Yeah.
That's got rained on. So I've now got a totally wet mattress. Right?
Oh, because it's been in your front yard. Yeah, I get you.
In the front yard. So I have to put it in two bin bags. Yeah, with a bin bag underneath it, set off the tip.
So you get there, you're at your traffic light you use, your favourite one.
Yeah.
What's it saying?
Red. Worst news yet, Rob. Yeah. I'm front of the fucking queue. The pressure's on.
Oh, boy, the pressure's on. What's with us? It don't work Sundays, does it, Josh?
It wasn't working again, Rob.
Could
on
you
a
not
Sunday.
Put a green light on the council website? Okay, you're at the front of the queue. I'm loving this. You're at the front of the queue.
I'm like, by this point, obviously, I don't have the theory about Sundays. I just thought it was last Sunday.
Yeah.
But then the time starts ticking, Rob.
Oh, no.
Another 5 minutes. The horns behind me are beginning.
Oh, no.
What would you have done, Rob?
I would have moved as far forward as possible to try and trigger some sort of sensor. Yeah. And then I would have waited for the person behind me to go around me.
That's exactly what I did. Waited for the person to go around me. And then a lorry went round me. The beauty of the lorry going round me is he was going straight on, I was going right. So I actually used the lorry as a kind of shield in case someone came through the green light in the other way.
I do that on roundabouts with buses and lorries. So I think, if he's gone, they can't get through him to me.
If it had all gone wrong, they'd have hit into the lorry and I'd have just carried on to the tip. Yeah.
Oh, well, at least you got in the tip eventually, Josh.
Yeah, when I got to the tip, Rob, just to finish the story.
Oh, no.
The
bloke went, are you chucking that away? I'll have that.
The lilo had leaked. All over. So then I had what I could only describe as an open... I had to open up a bin bag below the lilo. I had a puddle on a bin bag on the back seat of my car. Like, totally stationary. Like I had a little lake sitting in the back of my car.
Yeah.
No idea how to get it out. So in the end, I just had to kind of flip the water out of the car. I'll be honest with you, Rob.
Yeah.
The woman on Twitter who doesn't like the back of your car would give me dog's abuse for the back of my car. Yeah. Absolute fucking state of shitty water from the last week. But I did manage to get rid of my stuff at the tip.
But all the food as well, like the biscuits and crisps that are on the floor, when they get wet, it gets worse. Exactly. Mess and water. Oh, my God. And you've got dirty lilo water. But at least you got rid of the lilo.
Got rid of the lilo. Got rid of everything to the tip. But I don't know what to do about that traffic light, Rob.
I mean, report it to the council.
How could a traffic light not go on Sundays?
I tell you what we do is, you take a photo of this traffic light and stick it on our Instagram, and then someone locally will know what's the score of it, or someone in traffic. Yeah. I think that's what we do. There'll be someone that knows or can research that.
I couldn't believe it, Rob.
There is some sort of programming issue that needs to be reported to the local council. And I think you're the man to do it, Josh. You got your bin. They move fast. Bin. Hackney Council move fast.
They do move fast.
Maybe there's a Hackney councillor listening. Get it sorted. Someone for Transport for London. Get it sorted.
Get it
a photo online. Can I tell you my dump tip confession?
Yeah.
There's a... CCTV camera that you can check on the council website to see how busy the queue is for the dump. Oh. I check it before I go to make sure it's really long so I can be out the house for longer.
Oh, Rob. Them brought in booking in your neck of the woods then.
They don't book in. We've got a permit, a little permit that we can just go whenever. I can go whenever I want, Josh.
Oh, wow.
I could go and take one bag of rubbish now.
God, and I bet all your bloody traffic lights work on the way as well, don't they?
Exactly. No threat of a fine. But yeah, I do that so that I can sit in the queue listening to a podcast.
Lovely.
It's great, isn't it? It's
this
little,
one?
Little trick. I don't listen to this back. Sometimes I hear Lou listening to it, though, which is weird. And then I shout to her and she gets all confused because she can't work out what's me talking on the podcast and what's me shouting about something.
Do you want a few very quick emails, Rob? And then we'll do loads more emails on Friday.
Yes, let's do that. Let's do some emails. And I've got some Instagram we can do on Friday because I've blabbered on. I feel better now, though, Josh. I needed that release.
I think, do you know what? We both needed that.
Yeah. And I think it was perfectly weighted. I got burnt out like a Catherine wheel. And then you really built that dump and lights through, built like a bonfire. It was beautiful.
Do you want to hear something really lame, Rob?
What, again? That's what the show is, Josh. Go on.
So now I've... to make my tea last during the record, because we record this, it's what, it takes an hour or whatever. Yeah. I do use a travel cup now, Rob.
Oh, what, that keeps it warm?
Yeah.
You know, you can get like a Bluetooth one that heats it.
Oh, my word.
Rishi Sunak's got it, and it was like in the paper for him being flash, because he had like an £80 cup or something that kept it warm.
He can afford it.
He can afford it. Also,
he's the richest man in the cabinet.
He's the richest man in the cabinet. But yeah, so you should get one of them, Josh.
Yeah, well, because this one came free when I did Blockbusters on Comedy Central. Hi, Josh and Rob. Hearing about the girl who told... Why don't I read the nice bit as well?
Yeah, let's...
Thank you for keeping us sane in these dark days. You're performing a national service and should anticipate at least an MBE in the next honours list.
Oh, would we accept though, Josh?
Wow. Would we be offered after the bloody first 5 minutes of this episode? Am I right? Yeah. Hearing about a girl who told her nursery friends, my daddy's got a big willy, brought back one of our most cherished parenting memories. Our girls aged 11 and 14 now, but when they were 6 and 9, we went for a sunny walk and picnic in Trent Park, the outer reaches of North London. We'd been warned the park's long grasses could hide ticks, so we should keep an eye on both dog and the kids to make sure they didn't attract any unwelcome visitors. After our picnic, we went to the Adventure Playground, which was packed with whooping kids and parents milling around. I remembered about the ticks, so called over our youngest, Esme, to check the skin of her arms and legs. All clear. I then asked her to go and fetch her sister so I could check her. At which point, she took a few steps forward and yelled across the playground, "Sophie, come here. Daddy wants to check if you've got tits."
Oh, God. no, 9 and 11, the worst ages for that as well.
Tumbleweed, shock silence, some parents sniggered. One openly laughed, one looked appalled.
Oh, it's something you call your teacher mum, isn't it? Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
The worst.
Yeah. Ugh. So there we go.
Lovely stuff.
Years on, we still haven't been back to that playground, from Joel Rickett.
Joel Rickett.
Rob, we've had a lot of people who have had babies during international football tournaments.
Oh, good to know. So we get a bit of advice, because you're expecting your... Oh, Josh, I should mention this as well. We're a bit worried about... Not worried, but, like, you're quite a sort of private person. You're not a big sort of, like, male online media whore type of celebrity. You keep yourself to yourself. No. And you was a bit like, oh, I hope, you know, there's... I imagine too much coverage about your second baby. And it did well, didn't it, the announcement on the podcast? We had one of our biggest ever download days, but not one single media outlet covered it, Josh.
Yes.
So is that good news for you, or are you slightly annoyed that you completely went under the radar? It's a bitter pill to swallow, isn't it? I would say your private life hasn't been invaded, but you wouldn't mind a little pry, would you? Just to make you feel important.
Yeah, you'd think, considering some of the stuff they put in Mail Online. But I'm going to say it now, Rob. It's good to know that no one's interested in your life. Because sometimes you're sat waiting at a red light eternally and you think, what if I jump this light and it's going to end up in the papers?
Yeah.
And now I know, no one could give a fuck.
I do think that sometimes, because obviously some people's lives are really, like, pried into, but you must have to court it a bit, because you're on, like, a big TV show. We do a podcast about parenting that's just popular and a lot of people listen, but no one cares.
No one gives a fuck about me, Rob. No one gives a flying
fuck. But they do, because they listen to this and you're on the show, but certain aspects of media don't care at all.
Couldn't give a shit. Do you know what I'm going to do, Rob? Yeah. I'm going to go on Mail Online, which I don't do normally.
No. Not publicly.
I'm going to go on, is it TV and Showbiz? That's the bit, right?
Yeah, the sidebar of shame, yeah.
I'm going to read you some things that are more interesting.
than you having another kid. All right, go on.
Molly Mayhague, who I've never heard of.
She's from Love Island.
Wraps up warm in a black padded jacket.
To be fair, though, that's pretty interesting. Tell me that, because she's wearing
that. It's not finished yet. As she joins Bo, Tommy Fury, on a low-key stroll.
She's gone for a walk. It's bigger news than your incoming child.
Unbelievable. Okay.
Anything else? Anything else?
Yeah, I'm sure. I'll be honest with you. There's a lot.
It's the worst day you could have done this.
Well, there's also a lot of stuff that's just really... shaming to women, so I'm trying to skip over that because it's not very nice. Okay, Ashley Roberts, Pussycat Doll.
Yes, now a heart DJ.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Oh, hang on, but this is obviously more important to the reader than your incoming baby.
More important to the reader. Ashley Roberts looks chic in a khaki pleated skirt, lilac blouse, and shearling jacket as she leaves her Heart FM show. She's just going home from work. In clothes. James Martin walks off this morning set after Holly Willoughby and Philip Schofield leave him red-faced with cheeky piece of meat joke.
It was a good joke, though.
He's literally just walked out of shop because of a joke. Genuinely. Well, Rob, I've got loads of football stuff, so why don't we save that for Friday? Don't worry, it's not all football-y, if you're not interested in football. But I could end with, if you think we've gone mad, Rob...
Yeah.
Can I end with this? I love the podcast. It cheers me up after the hell that is homeworking or homeschooling. My three children, aged 10, 9, and 5. I just wanted to share my own Bingate experience. This happened a few years ago while my youngest was still very much in nappies. The thief's modus operandi, stiff neck, was to sneak out as soon as the bins were emptied, steal a bin from the end of the alley where all the bins were put out, and hide it in her garden.
Ooh.
The bins are emptied every 2 weeks. On bin day, she would sneak the bin back very early, late at night, and steal another house's bin after the bin men had been. This had happened to us a couple of times, and after speaking to a few neighbours, we realised this was a well-thought-out plan carried out by a criminal mastermind who carefully altered her victims so as to avoid notice. I waited until our bin was yet again stolen. I was determined to find out who the thief was. On bin day, I went out at 7 a.m. It wasn't there. 7:30, still no bin. At 8, I went back out and there it was. I opened the bin and was faced with 2 weeks' worth of waste. I was determined to find a clue and had come prepared, so put on my rubber gloves.
No.
Opened the first bag and discovered to my horror that not only did she mix general waste with recycling, but she'd removed her name and house number from all of her junk mail.
No. Oh my gosh, that New to the World reporter, this in the bins.
Yeah. She'd carefully removed all trace of her identity. As I said, a criminal mastermind, I was not willing to give up, so dragged out bag after bag of sweaty, stinking rubbish. My husband came out with the kids on to see what I was doing, but hurriedly took them back to shield them from my madness. I was a woman possessed. The entry to the alley leads directly to my kids' school. Parents I knew were walking past.
Oh, God, this is getting worse!
Looking at me almost upside down in the bin, but I ignored them and maintained focus on my goal.
Bin raider. Bin raider is the worst thing you could be at school. Bin raider. Remember bin raiders at school?
No. What's a bin raider?
Well, someone got something out of the bin. You go, bin raider. He's a bin raider. Never heard of bin raider?
No. Didn't have bin raiders in Devon.
There's only four of you, wasn't it? Everyone will know what they've put in there.
Suddenly, I saw it. Her mistake. I grabbed hold of it, shoved the bags back in, and ran home to carefully consider my next well-reasoned move. However, I was fucking livid. So instead, I wrote this note. Aggressive, I agree. Especially as I later realised she was an elderly lady.
Oh, they're always the worst.
Still, she was sprightly enough to steal all of the neighbourhood's bin rather than a new one. My advice to Josh is go in hard. You may get a rep as the neighbourhood psycho, but your bin will never be stolen again.
Well, did she confront the old lady?
I'll read you the note. She sent us a screen grab.
Okay.
Dear blank. We'll call her Dorothy. Dear Dorothy.
No, don't call her Dorothy. That's my neighbour. It looks like I've got the ump.
Okay, sorry.
Call her. Don't say sorry. It was my fault. Call her June.
Okay, that is her name. So that's all. No, it's not. Dear June, if you're going to steal my bin for 2 weeks, at least have the fucking sense to get rid of your prescriptions with your name on.
No, she didn't say fucking, did she? She put down the F. Your fucking prescriptions. You can't be that aggressive to someone that needs medicine.
Next time it goes missing, I will inform the council and give you my shitty nappies to take care of. Cheers, number 20.
Number 20. Wow, that is... Did she get a reply? You're not replying to that, are you? You're just not going to steal the bin again. Good honour, though. I also, as well, I personally feel like, great, you got your bin back, but I don't think this was about the bin. It's a bit like when you got confronted by that gym goer outside when you went, what's this really about? Not about the bin, is it? There's enough space for the bin, isn't it, in the other bin? But good, that's good detective work, though. I applaud the effort.
Yeah, so do I. So, yeah, if you've gone mad in some way, let us know about it.
Oh, we've got this one from Steve in Dagenham. He ate his own shit once. Cool, right. That's a lovely bit of correspondence. He went mad.
On Friday, we've got Gabby Logan. That is unrelated to her have you ever gone mad question.
No, I'd say one of the most composed people on TV, Gabby Logan.
One of the most composed people on TV and podcast. She's
and
absolutely brilliant.
She's great, Gabby.
Genuinely great episode. I look forward to everyone hearing it, but we'll see you then.
See ya.